Shalom, Chag Sameach, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan with my dear wife and best friend, Sheila Crawford. Just a reminder that all of our radio programs and newsletters are archived on shofarministries.net, a surplus of knowledge that we anticipate you will share what you learn with others. Let us bow our hearts in prayer. Abba, Father, we are in the season of Passover, memorializing your historical miracles during these 8 days. And as the bride of Christ, we even more so cherish the even greater act of love by your Son. You are an awesome God above all gods. And now we will live forever simply because we believe. And now we pray for these recent petitions and the prayers of those listening right now, particularly for the salvations of all our loved ones. We also pray for the many earthquake victims that they will turn to you for comfort and salvation. Bless the teaching tonight, and may it be to your glory. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. And Chag Sameach to all of you out there. Before we begin, honey, could you tell our listeners how they can give us their prayer requests, end time questions, or just comments about the program?
Yes, there are three ways to do this. You can email to Sheila@shofarministries.net, or just call the office and leave a detailed message to 440-834-9006. Also by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. And we always appreciate your much-needed love offerings, which can also be made on our webpage, shofarministries.net.
And, you know, besides the airtime costs, there are other expenses, and very little has been coming in to cover it all. So please consider any donation at this time.
Yes, please. And a reminder, all the programs are archived on our webpage, as well as the newsletters. And on Friday, May 6th, and the first Friday of every month, we are at Chester Christian Center in Chesterton, Ohio at 7 p.m. Okay, before you get into the news, what happened yesterday in Jerusalem?
Well, since we are in the season of Passover until Saturday, the priestly blessing was given, called the Birkat Kohanim, you know, that we end the program each week with. Well, it was prayed last night by the Kohanim, which just means the priests. And they were wearing their shawls, and they did it at the Western Wall. And in fact, they say about 50,000 Jews and Christians were there.
And I'm sure it will be on YouTube for your viewing pleasure.
For sure, it always is. Well, the Pentagon has ordered the United States military's cyber command unit to open a new front against ISIS by attacking their computers, email systems, and IP-based networks. And as well, you might have heard, President Obama just announced he will be sending 250 more troops into Syria.
Didn't Obama pledge to wind down all wars in the Middle East when he was first elected in 2008?
Yes, and he did in Iraq, but that was so ISIS could move in and steal all our military's equipment and Humvees. To rid Syria of Assad was what the goal was, and it was all planned out, but that didn't happen, thanks to Russia.
Also, he found it necessary to keep the troops in Afghanistan just to protect poppy fields.
I agree. And now he's sending more troops to Syria, where the 5-year civil war has killed at least 250,000 people. Pray for our military. And by the way, don't try to figure it all out. The elite puppet masters know the end game, but they do change course often.
Yes, they do.
Well, Obama's welcoming ceremony to Saudi Arabia was quite an embarrassment. especially since the king personally welcomed each GCC summit leader, like from Bahrain and Kuwait, the UAE, Qatar, Oman, but did not welcome Obama at the Saudi airport. Instead, he sent a low-ranking official, and even Saudi TV didn't cover the arrival.
And I heard the meeting did not go very well.
No, it didn't, actually. The Sunnis reminded Obama of his many unkept promises and then presented recommendations so he could appease them. And it was mostly over Iran, Russia, and the ousting of Syria's Assad. But evidently, Obama could not agree to their terms, and so he soon left. But he then headed immediately on what they say an unplanned trip, along with Michelle, to make a surprise visit to the Queen on her 90th birthday. This time, the Obamas were met by the Queen and her husband, Prince Philip, when their helicopter landed on the lawn right next to the castle.
Wonder what their private conversation was.
Yeah, right, later on what it was. Please remember that the Queen and the Pope are the main players of the elite establishment we do call the puppet masters. And did you hear that Joe Biden last week, he really gave an attacking message on the Netanyahu government. He was at a J Street convention.
Yeah, J Street is the leftist counter to AIPAC.
It is. Biden suggested that Netanyahu's approach raised profound questions about how Israel could say they are Jewish and democratic.
I know.
Biden said, "I firmly believe that the actions that Israel's government has taken over the past several years, you know, the steady and systematic expansion of settlements, the legalization of their outposts, the land seizures, they're moving us and, more importantly, they're moving Israel in the wrong direction." That's what he said. However, the bulk of Biden's criticism was actually reserved for Netanyahu himself personally, reflecting diminishing patience within the White House as Obama's term nears an end, compounded by a lot of deep disagreements over Iran and a strained relationship between the two leaders, as we know. And another really arrogant dig at Netanyahu and his Likud party, Biden singled out for praise a guy named Stav Shafer, who is a young member of Israel's left-wing parliament and a critic of Netanyahu. Biden added, and this is a quote, "May your views begin to once again become the majority opinion in the Knesset."
You know, that's a direct punch against Bibi's Likud government.
There's no doubt about that. Mm-hmm. And especially right now with the United States deciding on Israel's aid package, which, by the way, 83 senators has said should be increased. Bernie Sanders did not agree to that, however. France has now announced a UN global summit on May 30th, and it's to address specifically the Israeli-Palestinian peace process. Of course, neither Israel nor Palestine are invited to these preparatory talks, but they have admitted that the two sides are further apart than ever, so we have to act now. And we know Obama has the veto power, but no one expects him to use it. So if there's no veto, Israel would have to abide to what we are sure would be mandatory stoppage of all settlement construction and, of course, a two-state solution with East Jerusalem given to the PA as their capital.
And, of course, give up the Golan Heights.
Well, that's probably so. But anyway, they must hurry this along because a new president would veto any UN resolution, especially if it's a Republican. Maybe not a Democrat, though. But this is a major reason why we are looking for Jesus to call us home, because this easily could be the prophetic treaty of Daniel 9.
Didn't Bibi meet with Russian's Putin last week?
Yes. And I suppose that was partly about the Golan Heights, because Russia wants them to give it up. But it seems also that Putin wanted to discuss Israel's natural gas industry. It does appear that Putin wants to take part in the development of the Leviathan gas reservoir. Now, we always knew that Israel's recent gas and oil finds would be the hook in the enemy's jaws. Even if Israel agrees, under some pressure, to some sort of partnership, Russia and its allies will want more, and Ezekiel 38 will be fulfilled. And for Putin, a stake in an Israeli gas reservoir is not only an economic one, but a strategic geopolitical issue, with the perfect excuse for the Mediterranean entry of Russian warships, you know, in order to protect their gas drilling platforms.
Mm-hmm.
Israel also knows that a partnership with the Russian energy giant does have its advantages for them, too. Russia's Gazprom has professional capabilities in the development and export of gas reservoirs, the financial ability to raise its share of the financial, you know, money needed to develop the reservoir, and also a market of customers. But since the United States has also shown an interest, Israel better think twice about the consequences of such a partnership with Russia, because it is difficult to believe that the United States would welcome that alliance. But what an aha moment after what Biden and Obama have said and done to Netanyahu over the years.
Yep. You know, how exciting, Saints, to be living in these final hours of history.
Oh, and I know we say that a lot, but all these events occurring so rapidly does send shivers up my spine. And lastly, let me make a little comment about the who is considered a musical genius, or was. His name was Prince. As many others in Hollywood, they have died under questionable circumstances. Apparently, say some alternative news reports, the once openly Illuminati slave had been apparently trying to distance himself from what he believed as slave masters, and began to openly speak out against them, even writing the word slave on his right cheek at one of his concerts. Friends and family insist foul play, for he is a known vegan. Vegan? Is that how you say it? Okay. And he was very conscious about what he put in his body. And not too long ago, he became a Jehovah's Witnesses, trying to be kind of spiritual, and you know, they're even stricter than some Baptists I know. You're supposed to laugh at that, honey.
Okay, I know.
Okay. Funny. But here's the clincher. He's been speaking out against the poisonous chemtrails, like Merle Haggard was doing before he died a couple months ago. You ought to look that up if you haven't studied it. But as we spoke on last week, April 19th was the start of the 13-day occultic dark period of time known as the blood sacrifice to the beast that will culminate on the high occult day of Beltane on May 1st, better known as May Day.
Yeah, Prince was found dead on the 21st, wasn't he?
Yeah, imagine that. Coincidence?
Mm-hmm.
But do your own research, because there's plenty of it out there in Cyberland.
Yes, there is. Okay, are you ready to teach?
I surely am.
Okay.
Actually, tonight is the fifth and last part of the spring feast. We have detailed Passover, unleavened bread, first fruits, the eighth day, that is this Saturday, by the way, which we saw last week was the circumcision of John the Baptist, who was born on the first day of Passover, Nisan 14.
Yes, and remember, all teachings are archived on our webpage, shofarministries.net.
Yeah, I hope you're really taking advantage of that, because you can pause it, chew on it, re-listen to it, really get it inside, so, and then you can share it with others. But this evening, we will look at yet another very important aspect to the feast, especially for the Bride of Christ, and that is the all-in-order spiritual applications of the feast. Sort of like progressive steps to your faith, the process of redemption, justification, and finally sanctification. And again, it's in that order. So, spring feast, Passover, Nisan 14. Like the blood was applied on the doorpost in Egypt, and then later his blood was on the cross, we must spiritually apply his blood to our hearts. Not just a mind thing, but truly inviting him into your heart. Saints, did you know that a group of neurocardiologists have discovered that the heart has its own nervous system composed of approximately 40,000 neurons? Yes. It can detect circulating chemicals sent from the brain and other organs. Sort of like a mini brain of the heart, and has several functions unknown even 10 years ago. The heart can send its own signals to the brain, and I am told actually influence it. Now, doesn't that make sense? At least to us that are saved. They have found what they term the love hormone, called oxytocin, is not only released by the brain, but by the heart as well, and affects a very wide variety of important functions. It's a fascinating topic to research, but what is really amazing is that when you read about heart transplant recipients' testimonies, you will see how often the recipients take on new peculiar behaviors that can be traced back to the donor. Wow. So, saints, you can't just have a mind salvation. The heart has to be converted too. But you know that. Okay, the next feast, unleavened bread, Nisan 15, on the Hebrew calendar, is the day they left Egypt and the day Jesus took our sins to the grave. Spiritually to us, at our salvation, is when we leave our sins behind. And also, Egypt's a type of the world, so we leave the world's influence behind as well. Because we are a new creation now. You got to move forward closer towards Jesus, because now we are aliens and sojourners to this earth until he returns and cleans it all up. So don't keep one foot in the world, because he wants all of you. You know, 1 John 2:15 says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Then we have first fruits. It's always on a Sunday during the spring feasts. Historically, the Hebrews went miraculously through the Red Sea to a new life. Jesus rose from the dead. So we too have spiritually risen from the dead past into a newborn life again in Christ. We must look the part so others will be drawn to our newness and joy. 1 Corinthians 15:20 says, Christ is the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Then, 50 days later, and we'll cover this more in June, of course, comes Pentecost. They were given the Torah on the first Pentecost at Mount Sinai. It was a marriage contract or a covenant. And then later, the Holy Spirit, as recorded in Acts chapter 2, was given to us. Spiritually, we need the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. You know that extra baptism? And that's pretty simple. If you have moved forward towards your total sanctification journey by studying his word, then you ask him for it, and he will give you that extra charge of power to fight the war against our enemy. You know what? Even if you don't specifically ask for it, if you are in the ongoing process of your sanctification journey, it will come, often with your own prayer language or even an unknown tongue. But not all will speak with other tongues. And if you don't, you probably have a better gift, as Paul said to the Corinthians, to desire and to seek after. But it is around this time of your spiritual Pentecost that you will recognize your gift. and begin to move forward to accomplish what he has called you to do. But again, we'll talk more about that in June. Now it's really time to grow more spiritually in a deeper way. Time to graduate to the meat. No more just reading scripture, but time to do some exegesis. Start dissecting and look for the hidden golden nuggets. Moving forward to total sanctification that can only come by studying his word. So says Ephesians 5:26. I'm not telling you anything the Bible's not saying. Now you don't have to get totally sanctified. You are still justified and saved. But real victory over problems that surely come to all Christians, being totally sanctified, is really what you want. That should be your goal. Some call it just getting into the Holy of Holies and staying there. Many today just want to stay in the outer court, and they're happy to be there. You know, just saved enough to get into heaven, one foot in the world, don't care about prophecy or when Jesus will return, and really are anxious for him not to do so. They have life that they will, that they want to finish. I've heard people tell me they want to take this vacation first. I call them lazy Laodiceans because they just don't have the passion because they're not in the Word. Well, if you move forward in your studies of his Word, you will experience the next feast in the fall season, and that's the Feast of Trumpets. And again, we'll cover more of this in the fall, but this is when you actually hear the calling of God on your life. Then comes the Day of Atonement, and spiritually, of course, that's when you enter the Holy of Holies, that closeness to Jesus 24/7, where his presence is felt all the time. And you don't have to run off to any kind of service to get filled and feel his presence. You'll feel it all the time. And finally, the Feast of Tabernacles is when the Israelites entered the Promised Land, and we have the kingdom inside of us right now if you're totally sanctified. And again, it's only the water of the Word can get you there. Ephesians 5:26 again. It's sort of like that water basin in the outer court in the temple complex called the laver. It was filled with water, and they had to wash their feet or could not enter the holy place. We will never enter the holy place without being in his Word. You will stay in the outer court till you wash your feet like Jesus did to his disciples. So, we're out of time already, and as I said in the beginning of the program, yesterday at the Western Wall, or also called the Kotel, the priestly blessing or benediction called the Birkat Kohanim was accompanied by the raising of the hands by the Hebrew priests and all in attendance. The Hebrew priests were descended from Aaron, who was the first high priest and older brother of Moses, and has been divinely chosen by God to work in the tabernacle and assist the Israelites in blessings, ministering, sacrifices, and atoning for their sins to God for all eternity, they say. But today, they already know who they are, these priests, and they're ready for the temple to be built. So I want to leave you with that priestly blessing, and I'll do it in Hebrew and English. Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmerecha, which means the Lord will bless you and keep you. Ya'er Adonai panav elecha v'yunecha, the Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. Yaseh Adonai panav elecha v'yasem l'ha shalom, the Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. There it is. Go with God's blessing. Till next time, Sha'alu Shalom, Jerusalem. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, because those who love her, they surely will prosper in spirituality especially. And that's what we want to do. Get sanctified.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.